It's Tuesday, May 18th. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Matt Ford, and this is Jeff Schwartz's Smarter Than You. We went over the AFC teams last week. We're going over the NFC teams and the off seasons that they had. But first, let's bring in Matt. How are you, buddy? It's been a while.
I'm good, man. How fun is it that the NFL now, with the schedule release, there's just something always going on in the NFL. They've done an amazing job of just capturing our attention 12 months a year. I was so pumped for the schedule release. That's new for me. I usually don't care, but I was fired up this time.
Well, they moved it later in May than they normally had. This is kind of a reaction to last year, right? Last year's schedule release was later because of COVID.
Right.
This year, it's later again. The NFL owns August through May now, right? Like now is we kind of now it's a step back, right? We talk about these teams, we talk about the schedule. There's some couple player transactions here and there. And otherwise, it's a little bit of a break now. So we get into NBA playoffs and hockey playoffs and baseball going strong. But the NFL owns all of it. And to me, as a fan, really as a player too, the schedule symbolizes it's real. Like the season's real, right? Because now you see everything. And what gets me every time too, Matt, is that we already know who every team's playing.
Right.
But then when the schedule comes out, we act like, oh my God, this team, they have to go to these four. We knew that already, guys. Like we already knew, but now it feels real because it's on paper.
Yeah, totally. And it's also more fun after the draft because now, I mean, the example that comes to mind is Jets-Panthers week one. Like to have that right away be the Darnold revenge game, like to put that on the schedule first, like that's really fun, you know? Like to see who the Bucs are going to play first, they're playing Dallas. Like, oh, that's so exciting. It's just, it gets you so fired up for week one. Have you made a week one bet yet?
The one I tried to make was the Falcons.
The Falcons.
But I think the line moved. I saw it when I was doing for Fox, it was like at 2 or 1.5. I think it's no longer there anymore.
Who are they playing?
But they're playing the Eagles at home.
Okay. So you took Atlanta laying 2.
Yeah, Atlanta, I mean, have you made any wagers yet?
I haven't, but I knew you would have. That's why people listen to this podcast. We've already made a week one bet. It's May. It's May 14th. Let's go.
You know what's going to be? I'll tell you what. You know what's going to be a lot of value week one is your Washington football team. Everyone's going to bet on the Chargers in this week one game because it was came out as a pick 'em. I think it's already moved out to Chargers, you know, as a road favorite, which brand new coach across the country is a road favorite. I know I like Herbert, but guys, Washington can play some football here. So yep. I'm already having my eye on that one for week one already.
Well, luckily we've got some time to see where that line shakes out. So we're not too late to jump on that one, but I agree. I like Washington, especially as a home dog. Let's fly.
What do you look for as a fan in the schedule?
As a fan, I mean, if I'm looking at my specific team, the first thing you got to look at is where your bye is. I feel like you can tell right away if your season's going to be a shit show if you've got like the week 4 bye and you're like, oh my God, we're screwed. Or the week, 13 bye. That's number one. And then, you got to circle your primetime games. You're playing Thanksgiving or not. Washington plays on Thanksgiving quite a bit. I always am looking out for that one. Yeah, those are the big ones for me. What about you?
What's funny is players look at the bye too. We want a break. No, it's important, I think mentally to have the bye, right? Because you're grinding all through training camp, I'm with you. The bye ideally is going to be in week, and I guess it's now a week out, but week 9, 10, 11, probably kind of right in the middle of the season with a Thursday game week 4, 5, 6. Thursday game is also a mini bye. So it's not that we don't want to play. It's that we want to take a mental break. Physically, of course, the rest is great. But not having to worry about the stress of preparing, the anxiety of preparing, just the wear and tear of the season, you just take a break the week that you're not playing. It's funny you mentioned a late bye because Tampa last year had the latest bye, I think, on record, week 13. They didn't lose after that.
That's true.
Like it was so helpful for them. Now, they played an easier competition after the bye, but they went in and kind of rejuvenated their offense and figured things out. And that's what you can do via the bye. But your Washington football team had the oddest quirk, I think, of any schedule, which is they end the season with 5 straight division games. They go, I believe it's Dallas, Philly, Giants. Could be you know, Philly, Dallas, Philly, whatever. That's a really odd schedule. I do not understand. I don't have a great reason for why they did that.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think the NFC East will be a bit better this year, and that, I guess, might be a good segue to our preview. But yeah, that will certainly be very interesting at the end of the season.
Yes, it will. And so, all right, let's get to it. We'll talk each team like we did last time. We'll give them a grade. I think we'll do this in the lens we did it with the AFC, which is like, can they beat the Chiefs, right? Because I feel like Tampa, and maybe we start in the NFC South here just to make it so we can talk about Tampa real quick.
Sure.
It feels like Tampa is the overwhelming favorite in the NFC right now. I do like one other team, and we'll get to them in a second. But, you know, you look at their offseason, and of course, they brought back everyone, which it's a good thing, I think. I don't think it's a bad thing. And Matt, in year two, they should be better in this offense, right? With Bruce Arians and a full offseason with Tom Brady. And I like their draft. They went and got Joe Tryon, I think a really good defensive end prospect out of Washington to help. The guys that are getting older on that D-line. The Kyle Trask ones, whatever. They drafted an offensive lineman from Notre Dame to provide some depth. And we know guys from Notre Dame do a good job on the offensive line. So, look, I give them an A just because they won the Super Bowl and they just brought everyone back. But to me, they're the clear favorites until proven otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, 2 points on that. First of all, the gambling odds, which obviously are near and dear to us, really reflect that. At one of the books I usually use, Tampa's plus 255 to win the NFC.
Wow.
Which is just so insane. I mean, the Chiefs are at plus 233, so that's pretty steep too. That's prohibitive favorite territory. And, you know, every year at this time, it usually feels like we look at the teams and we're like, well, you know, how would it be that the 49ers wouldn't get back to the Super Bowl? The Rams wouldn't get back to the Super Bowl. It's, you know, like it's easy to just sort of pencil these teams in every year, but you actually don't look like an idiot when you pencil a Tom Brady team into the Super Bowl. I just think about this, Jeff. Tom Brady's been to 4 of the last 5 Super Bowls, 5 of the last 7 Super Bowls, and 9 of the last 19 where he was healthy. I mean, it's a pretty good bet that they're going to end up being back in the Super Bowl, or at least the NFC Championship. It makes no sense to bet on them. But when you look at the rest of this NFC, it's like, who else can you really count on, especially if Rodgers is in flux in Green Bay? I think the Bucs are really primed to get back to at least the NFC Championship.
And their schedule is, if you look at it, Warren Sharp's analytics and other people that kind of do the same idea, which you take, you don't look at strength of schedule per se from win percentage last year, right? Because everything changes year in and year out. You look at what the Vegas over-under is for the win. So according to Warren, Tampa has one of the 5 easiest schedules looking at kind of where Vegas projects each team to be. Now, obviously, that's not always, you know, team might be better or worse, but they have a second place schedule, right? They won the Super Bowl, and most times you win the Super Bowl, you finish first place in your division, but they finish second place because the Saints ended up being in first place. So let's get to New Orleans here, because I think this could be a down year for them. Look, Jameis Winston is the quarterback. I don't think it'll be Taysom Hill, but they lost Drew Brees. They lost Emmanuel Sanders. They lost Jared Cook. They lost Trey Hendrickson. They lost Janoris Jenkins and Sheldon Rankins and Malcolm Brown, which some of those are role players as well. But, you know, they re-signed Marcus Williams, P.J. Williams. I don't know, man. Winston is not as bad as he was in Tampa, but he's also not Drew Brees. And I think I'm down on the Saints this year. They don't really get it. I mean, they're like a C grade, I think. I mean, they were kind of stuck with quarterback, especially with their cap situation. But they haven't been able to do it with Drew Brees. Why are they going to do it with Jameis Winston?
Yeah, I feel like this is one of those teams that, this is a big theme for me this year, is what does their strategy reflect about their self-scouting? And I feel like they don't even really know what they are. To be honest, like, I feel like they think this is one of those years where they can maybe just get by with a good coach and Kamara and Michael Thomas hopefully has a little bit of a bounce back year for them. But like, you look at their defense, man, like that defense every year, we're so used to it just being loaded. Like, we're just used to the Saints just having a lot of guys who are good. But now I feel like that defense is like Williams, Lattimore, and DeMario Davis. You know, like that's kind of all of the talent on that team. On offense, like, yeah, we'll see what happens without one of the 7 best quarterbacks of all time leading it. This feels like one of those years where there could be just like a big sort of cycling that happens every couple of years of like a few teams sort of move out and a few teams sort of move in. Like, I could see this happening with Pittsburgh and the AFC. Like, the Saints, we could just be at the end of an era, you know? Like, they were unbelievable. They were competitive every single year for 15 years or something. Like, let them have a down year or two, figure something out, figure out the quarterback thing. I agree. I think right now they're fourth or fifth in terms of likeliest to win the NFC.
I don't see it.
So I don't buy it. I think that would be lighting your ticket on fire, but you know, we'll give Sean Payton the benefit of the doubt, but I'm not a big fan of where they're headed.
I'm not either. A team that everyone is a fan of, it feels, is the Carolina Panthers. Everyone is very excited for what they've done and what they've built over the last couple of years with Matt Rhule as their new coach. They drafted J.C. Horn and Terrence Marshall Jr. in the first and second round. They drafted Brady Christensen, a very quality offensive lineman out of BYU. Chuba Hubbard as well, explosive running back at Oklahoma State. They bring back McCaffrey, obviously. They re-signed Taylor Moten as well. Sam Darnold, the trade, obviously, from the Jets. They basically, you know, they're going to use him this year, and they have his fifth-year option picked up, so it made sense to not draft a quarterback, 8 overall. The one thing that concerns me a little bit is we have to assume Darnold is average, right? Or above average to get to be good enough, right? Like, I think they've done a good job this offseason building their team up. I think I give them a B grade for getting the team, but I'm not sure that Darnold's the guy. Plus, these trendy picks every year to improve, I don't buy them. Like, it doesn't seem to work every year. The trendy team to be, I worry about that. But I think Carolina did a B. I think, you know, there was really no option quarterback where they were drafting. I take that back. There was. It was Justin Fields. They just didn't think he was going to be there, I think, at 8. So they went with Sam Darnold.
I really like where they're headed. I wouldn't necessarily put them in, like, a title mix conversation, but they've got an opportunity in this division potentially. I feel like their defense is flying a little bit under the radar. This year they signed Hassan Reddick, Denzel Perryman, AJ Bouye. Like, those are kind of guys where you're like, huh, I didn't know that they would have landed on Carolina. They seem to have signed, like, every under the radar guy I like. Like, I like Dan Arnold because our guy Peter Schrager is all over him. David Moore has been, like, very reliable for Seattle for a while. I like their draft. I think they have a lot of good young talent on defense. You bring McCaffrey back. You know, they have a bunch of good receivers. Like, I could see them making some noise. Bridgewater to Darnold, I don't think is much of an upgrade or downgrade, but I don't think that really matters. I think that they're going to be competitive and fun.
Yeah, they botched that whole Bridgewater thing. I didn't get why they paid him so much money originally. Like, they should have just sucked last year and got Trevor Lawrence, but they paid Bridgewater. And people argue that, oh, Bridgewater was bad in close games. Some of them he was, but look at the actual box scores of these games. Or just go back and watch him. You know, he got the ball at the 20-yard line needing to score a touchdown, a two-point conversion with 50 seconds left and no timeouts. Like, come on, guys. He's not going to win that game. He got the ball back against the Raiders. They were down 34-30 after the Raiders had scored to go ahead with, like, 7 seconds left. Like, come on. Like, some of these close game losses aren't on Teddy Bridgewater. So the idea that Sam Darnold's going to flip those around, I guess we'll find out. The one concerning thing is Teddy Bridgewater did say in an interview that they did not work on red zone and 2-minute as much as he had in other places. And that does concern me because in the NFL, your bread is buttered in the red zone and in 2-minute offense and defense. And Matt Rhule has got to figure that out. He's got to change what he did in college. And college is not as important. You're always kind of in a 2-minute drill, right? You're going up-tempo, full speed. You have a lot more big plays. The red zone, you know, might not be as important. But that does concern me, Matt. So hope that he has figured out in year two how to get that done. Let's move to the Falcons here. I have Falcons. I hate saying this because they always just, like, rip my heart out, but they have talent, man. God,
every year, Jeff, if
Arthur Smith could get the offense going in the right direction, they're going to be good. Now, defensively, they just got to be better. And with Dan Quinn out of there, I just hope talent-wise they can develop some talent, right? Like, they drafted players, especially on the defensive line, just never developed them. So I think the Falcons are going to be better than we think. I'm excited to kind of gamble on them again without Dan Quinn as their head coach.
Godspeed, Jeff. Godspeed. Two things about the Falcons. The first is I strongly think they're going to trade Julio Jones before the season starts. We'll get to that. I think I know where he's going. But I also think they are in a position. Their cap, you look at their roster, they're just the victims of their own success from a few years ago where they got really excited and gave their top guys, a bunch of huge contracts. Their roster is in shambles. They have an unbelievable amount of dudes you've never heard of who they're going to need to rely on to do anything. And I look, that's fine. I think that they should try to sort of bottom out this year, get some of those big contracts off the roster. The other thing about Arthur Smith, like, I think that was a good hire. I think it makes sense that they didn't go all in on a quarterback just yet. Like, let's see what they have. Let's see if Matt Ryan's got anything left in the tank, if Arthur Smith is really that kind of coach. But he's not bringing Derrick Henry with him, man. I think it's pretty easy to build an amazing offense when you've got a guy who can get you 5 yards a carry whenever you need it. We'll see if he'll be able to do that with Mike Davis in the backfield. That's the Atlanta Falcons starting running back right now is Mike freaking Davis. That's a pretty big concern.
Look, I think that what Arthur Smith did in Tennessee, the more impressive part was Ryan Tannehill, not Derrick Henry. I mean, he turned Ryan Tannehill into a good quarterback with the play-action pass. I don't think the Derrick Henry thing, I think people are too focused on Derrick Henry. To me, it's what he did for that quarterback. If he can get Matt Ryan and a bunch of play-action pass using his big arm with Kyle Pitts, I think they'll be fine. I like what they did this offseason. I give him, a B, just like I give the Panthers. It wasn't an A, I don't think. I mean, I think defensively still have some holes to fill. But
this isn't their year. They're not going for the Super Bowl this year. They've got some time.
No, they're not. And they're not.
I totally disagree on the Henry thing, just for the record. Like, it's pretty easy to throw when you've got nine guys keyed in on the running back and one-on-one with everybody else in the receiving core. But I don't know. If you're picking a team in the South, I really like, besides the Bucks, obviously, I'm picking the Panthers, who, by the way, you can get plus money for over 7.5 wins. And the Falcons are, where are the Falcons? I think they're at the same spot. They're also 7.5, but it's actually juiced to the under. So people seem to be high on the Falcons. I don't see it.
I get it. I mean, we've got our hearts broken.
Mike Davis is their starting running back.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. The Chiefs won the Super Bowl with a seventh round undrafted free agent.
They had Patrick Mahomes.
That's not as important, dude. I think we're overvaluing Derrick Henry's involvement in that offense because he only got good when Ryan Tannehill became the starter. By the way, he wasn't good that year before Mariota was a starter. So all right, let's move on
too much
to I know. What do you want to go next? What division?
Let's save the East. Do you want to go to you want to go to the North?
Let's do the North. Let's start with the favorite in the division, the Packers, with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. If he's not a quarterback, he won't be the favorite. They re-signed Aaron Jones. They brought King back. They brought Tonyan back. They lost a couple players on their offensive line to need to kind of fix that, but they drafted Josh Myers at center. I like their first round pick. They drafted cornerback. That's what they needed. They didn't need another wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers. They needed help on defense. Remember the NFC Championship game? Their defense got smoked by Tampa Bay. And that's been their problem for a couple years now. I understand Rodgers' anger with the Jordan Love pick, but defense was the way to go, I think, in the first round, especially where they were drafted. So this comes down to this, right? Is Aaron Rodgers staying in Green Bay or not? Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, it's funny. We haven't really had this conversation yet. So I think a few things about this. I am positive Aaron Rodgers will be starting for the Packers this year. And to that end, their futures odds have really decreased. So if you're with me on this take, now's the time to pull the trigger on Green Bay. They are plus 875 to win the NFC at my book. That's behind the Rams and the 49ers, who have tons of questions in my eyes. The thing with Rodgers, Jeff, is we just saw this happen with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson ran the same exact playbook 2 months earlier that Aaron Rodgers did. He had a complaint about how they've been building the team. And to me, it's basically a like, hey, just in case I leave, like, they're the problem, not me. I'm not the problem. I'm not the reason that we fell apart last year. I think Aaron Rodgers is looking at Tom Brady and Drew Brees retiring, and he's sort of like, where do I fit in with these all-time greats? I don't want to be discounted because the only successful wide receiver that Gutekunst and crew has drafted is Devontae Adams. Like, he wants to sort of deflect some of the blame off of him, which I get. But here's the thing, Jeff. What does Aaron Rodgers want? Aaron Rodgers wants to host Jeopardy. That's what he wants. And to do that, he needs a very high Q rating, right? He needs to be well-loved by the folks all over the country who are turning on their TVs at 7 o'clock at night. You know what people don't like? guys who quit on their team and forsake millions of dollars to prove some argument, which, by the way, what is his argument exactly? That they didn't draft him enough wide receivers over the years? Who cares? That doesn't justify sitting out a season or throwing a hissy fit. But with that all being said, the way to fix this problem is to throw a second round pick to Atlanta and just get Julio Jones. Just get Julio Jones. Throw a first rounder. Who cares? It's going to be the 30th pick in the draft. Go get Julio Jones. You quiet Rodgers. You get your fans excited. Atlanta's all too eager to let him go. I think that's the way you fix this.
Well, that's one way to do it. I'm with you there that he's being a little bit sensitive and kind of being a little bit of a baby right now about some of this stuff. But that's kind of his personality, right? Like, he's just, he wants to voice his concerns about a lot of what's happening right now. Here's how it gets fixed. You mentioned some ways too, but, and the reports are he turned down an extension, but it's money, right? He wants to feel loved. He wants to, no pun intended, he wants to feel the Packers want him to be there for two or three more years, right? They drafted Jordan Love. Same thing Tom Brady went through with you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, right? He wants to feel loved. He wants the Packers to make a commitment to him via, you know, via guaranteed money. Because remember, that's the best commitment you can have as a player. The team pays you guaranteed money. And all the other stuff, again, like, I think he's being a little sensitive with some of the stuff. Like, the Packers' number one need this year was defense. Like, there wasn't a need for a wide receiver. Just an MVP year. And he's going to play for the Packers this year. That's my take. I don't think he'll go anywhere.
I agree. The other thing, that report about, oh, he told free agents he was going to leave. No, he didn't. Aaron Jones stayed. You think Aaron Jones would have stayed and for less money? He said that he took less money because he wanted to stay with the Packers. He didn't stay there for Jordan Love. He stayed there for Aaron Rodgers. It's such BS.
He's also telling players that can't leave to come join him. Like, congratulations. Like, you're going to form a super team in Denver? They're not going to sign all your friends in Denver. They're not going to sign all your friends in Denver. Like, that's, it's also the one thing that bothered me too is a little bit about him. Again, I don't, everyone I've talked to who played with Aaron, I said he's fine. So some of these reports come out, like, I've asked players, they say he's fine. Is this text message leaked out that, he was comparing, Brian Gutekunst to Jerry Krause, the famed Bulls general manager. Well, guess what, Aaron? Jerry Krause has 6 titles. You have one 11 years ago.
Yep.
Okay. They're not breaking up your dynasty, buddy. No. They're not doing it. Jerry Krause, okay, fine. You want to, you know, say that he ruined the Bulls? Fair enough. We all watched The Last Dance. But this is not your situation, buddy. You got to win like 3 more Super Bowls to fill your dynasty. Like, you, the Chiefs have more of a claim to a dynasty right now, and they don't yet. They need to win another one or maybe 2 more than you do. You have no claim to a dynasty right now.
Yeah. He's, you know, I think he is like the most purely talented, other than Mahomes, so we need a little bit more time. Like, he is just the most fun quarterback to watch that I've ever watched, with Mahomes as the exception.
He's incredible. He's an incredible player.
He's amazing. He's like, he's got to get out of his own way here. And the number one way to do that is go back to the Packers, take the best receiver in football, your good running back, your great offensive line, which, like, by the way, where's the credit to the Green Bay front office for protecting him and extending guys like Bakhtiari for so long? I don't know. I just don't see him getting out of there.
I don't either.
And to that end, by the way, the NFC North, if he plays, this division is so weak. I mean, they can just cakewalk to a probable bye here, or at least, well, not with this new format, but they can at least walk to the second seed.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the other competition in his division. We'll start with the Bears, who definitely had an interesting offseason. A lot of turmoil in the organization. Trubisky's gone. A lot of talk about, will Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy come back? And they end up with Justin Fields in the draft. Tavon Jenkins in the second round, who I really like.
Yeah.
Ended up playing left tackle for them. Not quite sure that's his position in the NFL, but they end up getting some value there. They brought back Allen Robinson as well, Damian Williams. And so, look, man, I think Fields starts from day one. I'm high on Fields. Matt Nagy has to do a better job than he did with Trubisky of kind of designing offense for him. Now, there's some argument that Trubisky wasn't good enough. It didn't really matter what Matt Nagy did. It wasn't going to work. But there was some talk that he didn't tailor the offense well enough to what Trubisky's strengths are. So hopefully he does that with Fields. But when the Bears go to Los Angeles in week one, Fields will be the quarterback. I love what they did this offseason. I'm not high on them quite so much this year because I think it's really hard to win with a rookie quarterback, just in general. But I think they're going to play, especially defensively, with a renewed spirit because they trust who's a quarterback, right? Defense is an emotional position, Matt. And if you don't trust that your offense will help you out at all, you might play well for three quarters, you might play well for half a season, and then just downhill because you don't feel that love from the offense. You don't feel the offense can help you. You know, offensively, our job is just to score, right? We score, 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 score all the time. We have no problem just continuing to try to do that. Now, it's harder when your defense sucks and you have to score 35 points to win, but that's our job, is to score points. Defense a little more emotional. So I think defense will play better this year. But again, I want to see what Nagy does with Fields. I think he'll start week one. I love what they did with the draft, and they're going for it. How do you feel the Bears did this offseason?
I think that they did a really nice job with the Fields thing. They're all in on him, right? Like, and we've seen this happen before, and we've seen it work, where a quarterback's come in and, you know, exceeded expectations, and the rest of the team's infrastructure is sort of there. I think the Bears are one of these teams that's got like the highest floor-to-ceiling discrepancy, I think. Like, if Fields comes in and is good and is as good as some people thought he could be coming into the draft, they could be a damn good team. Like, their defense could get energized. You know, David Montgomery really came on at the end of last year. Allen Robinson is a very good wide receiver one who I think has been overlooked. But then you kind of look at their team, right? And their window weirdly is now. Akeem Hicks is turning 32 this year. Khalil Mack just turned 30. Trevathan's 31. In the secondary, they're getting a little bit older too. Like, they have a real veteran team, and they kind of need Fields to come in and just be good. Now, this, you know, we've seen this with other teams like the Rams, where they're just sort of like, well, the quarterback was the problem. So, you know, what can we do? Now you've got your quarterback. Like, this is kind of the year where we have to see if this roster is ever going to be anything or not. I think they're going to be good. I think Fields is going to be good. I think he's in a position to succeed. But I'm not sure about it. And so the fact that they could end up doing pretty well in this division because of the other two teams, but they're kind of a mystery. It's hard to handicap them. It all comes down to Fields.
I'm with you. That's why I think, like, you know, again, we're not playing the can they beat Tampa game because they're not going to beat Tampa.
Yeah.
It's all about how Fields progresses into year two. Because look, if he kind of doesn't progress this year, Nagy's out and someone else is coming in to coach him. So, like, there's a lot of pressure on this. I think there is pressure to play him sooner or later because for this exact reason, right? Like, you drafted him, you better let him go. All right, let's get to the Vikings, who last year they were a mess defensively. And I don't expect them to be as bad this season with Mike Zimmer, right? I just don't expect that.
Yep.
Now, they added Patrick Peterson, who is a little slower now. I don't know if he's as good as he's been, but again, a veteran addition to a defensive-minded coach. I like it. You know, Xavier Woods and McKenny Alexander, too, on defense. Just some kind of low-key defensive ones. Now, I thought their draft was good in a couple areas. One is their offensive line had to get better, right? Had to get better. They drafted Christian Darrisaw from Virginia Tech and Wyatt Davis from Ohio State. Great options. Don't like the Kellen Mond draft pick in the third round. I feel like you wasted a draft pick because Cousins is there and he's your guy. Like, why would you draft a third-round quarterback? Makes no sense unless you just need a veteran backup, I guess. But again, you're kind of in go-for-it-now mode, right? And to draft a quarterback in the third round feels extremely silly when you need to go get more players to help your team get to where you want to go. I'm just out on Cousins. Like, they're not being the Bucks. They might win 10, 11 games, Matt, but they're not a legitimate contender to win the NFC.
No, they're another team where I just don't understand what they think they are. Obviously, they needed help on the offensive line. The Patrick Peterson thing, I guess Zimmer is looking at Terrence Newman from a few years ago and all these like older corners that he's been able to sort of turn around into something. I think he could. The Kellen Mond pick is the one everyone's sort of fascinated by. Count me among them. Like, Kirk Cousins, he's just never really delivered for them. He's been, I think, exactly what everyone expected, which is like better than average, probably, but hasn't delivered them the promised land. The thing I'm really concerned about with them is Dalvin Cook last year was absolutely heroic. And for them to be competitive, they need that kind of same season out of him. Jefferson and Thielen were incredible last season. Thielen was hurt for some of the year. He kind of has had some injury struggles in the past. I could see their offense regressing. And if their defense doesn't sort of return to the Mike Zimmer defenses that we're used to, this could be a disastrous season for them. Just, you know, I don't really know what they're where they're headed.
The Cousin, I know Mama was so, because the Cousin conversation, there are some people that think Cousins is much better, much worse, kind of in the middle. I think he's worse than people think he is, just because I don't think ever see him like winning the NFC, which is kind of the point of the whole exercise, right? I don't know. I think he's just okay. Everything else has to happen for him to be really, really good. And I just don't think everything's going to happen for them this year. Again, they're well coached. They might win 9 or 10 games, but the Packers with Rodgers, there's a reason why they keep winning every year. The division, they're a better football team. All right, let's get to the Lions very quickly. I love their draft. Penei Sewell, Levi Onwuzurike, McNeil just got big and physical on the Lions, but they're just not very talented. They're not going to win a lot this year. Dan Campbell, bite their kneecaps off. I'm just curious to see what they do with Goff this year, right?
I think that the Goff-Stafford trade, there's a very good chance we look back at this trade and go, wow, Lions, good trade. Like, if Stafford isn't a huge jump over Goff in LA, then we're going to look at this trade and be like, huh, maybe the Lions were onto something here. They also have an out after next year, so it's not like they entered into a lifelong commitment to Jared Goff. Yeah, I think the Penei Sewell draft pick was great. You know, I'm glad they didn't franchise and extend Kenny Golladay. Like, let the Giants have Kenny Golladay. Who cares? Like, that's not a Super Bowl winning piece for them one day. I also, you know, the center, I forget the guy's name, the center for the Lions who just got that huge contract. They're building up front, right? So I think that that's a smart way to do it. I'm curious to see how Goff does. I don't know. I think they're headed in the right direction. Give them some time. I think they'll be fine in a few years.
Yeah, I'm just curious what they do next year at quarterback. I mean, there's a lot of talk about them. You know, if they just kind of peter out this year, just being really bad and grabbing yourself a quarterback in next year's class. So sure, we'll leave it. The Lions, I think, look, again, they did a good job kind of adding physical pieces to their roster, but there's not much to talk about there. Let's get to the West, because that's a very fun division. So
yeah,
the West is the one place where I think we have a challenger for the Bucs, and that is the 49ers. Mm. And I'll tell you why the 49ers are a challenge. They're a good roster, right? We know that. I was pretty impressed with the addition of Trent Williams. Not the addition, but the re-signing. They're so beat up last year, Matt, that's going to come back to the other way, right? Like, they're going to not be beat up and maybe have some good injury luck this season. But more than anything, when Shanahan has held a healthy quarterback, that is Jimmy Garoppolo, he went to Super Bowl the one season he had. So if Jimmy Garoppolo starts a season and gets injured, guess what? They have a more talented player to come in and play for him. Or if Trey Lance starts the season, he's more talented than Jimmy Garoppolo. And he plays in an offense that makes everyone good, right? It made Cousins good. It made Goff good. It made Baker Mayfield. This offense is excellent for quarterbacks. So no matter what happens in that position, whether it's Jimmy G or Trey Lance, Matt, I think they win a lot of football games. I think Lance plays at some point this year, maybe week 5, 6, 7, 8, somewhere around there, and the offense just takes off. I like Lance to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think there's some good value there, because I think if he comes in, even if he plays 13 of 17 games, he's going to play well. So to me, it's Niners. They're the one challenger, in my opinion, to the Bucs.
Hmm. Well, everyone's sort of split on this team. Some people think that they're kind of like, oh, they're a sleeper. Maybe they'll be like an under-the-radar team. They actually, at my book, they have the third-best odds to win the NFC of any team, which I think is pretty interesting. I mean, yeah, they were really banged up last year, but they were really banged up the year before, too. And I think that at some point that becomes, like, that's not an anomaly. Last year, they had 17 starters go on IR. The year before, they had 15 starters go on IR. Trent Williams, amazing player. Love him. Watched him a lot in Washington. Always hurt. George Kittle has had plenty injury problems. Debo Samuel's had plenty injury problems.
Right, but you have to think, but typically in you that unless they're just old and beat up, You know, that's in this year, you're not going to have that. Injury luck kind of every year, you go up, down, up, down, up, down. You know?
But not the last 2 years. It's been consistent. So the other thing about the 49ers that I think people are kind of overlooking is on their defense, two things have happened that I think are significant. Let's assume Nick Bosa comes back to 100%. He's young and people recover from ACLs all the time. They have not looked exactly the same since DeForest Buckner left. I think that was sort of an underrated loss for them. He's been great in Indy. And also, like, you know, Robert Saleh for 2 years got so much credit for that defense, and now he's gone. So we'll see if that defense is going to be as sharp as everyone says it is. I don't exactly know what the plan is with Lance. The fact that they kept Garoppolo. And by the way, I want to take credit for predicting that the Niners would pick Lance on our mock drafts. Check out your boy. But I'm not sure exactly what the plan is there. If they start Garoppolo, you know, they're gonna be good. They're a solid team. I just don't buy the injury regression thing because they have the pattern, and I have some questions about their defense. Before I say, yes, they certainly can. If things go right, they can unseat the Bucs potentially, but I'm not sure. I'm not as high on them as everyone else is.
I'll just say this. In 2014 and 15 with the Giants, we had a ton of injuries, Coughlin's last 2 years. And then 2016... everyone was healthy and they went to the playoffs with Ben McAdoo. Like, I think if they stay healthy, they're in, which is a big, you know, it's a big question mark. So I'm with you there. Let's move on to, let's do Seahawks. I think the Seahawks would be the second best team in this division.
Wow.
Yeah. Dude, they just win a lot of regular season games. Like, they just do. They're going to win. They're going to be over 9.5 games as usual. And they're going to just run the ball 50 times in the playoffs and lose. But Russell Wilson asked for some help. They addressed the offensive line, right? They traded for Gabe Jackson. They drafted Stone Forsythe in the sixth round. I think it's going to be a really good addition for them. They drafted a wide receiver, Dwayne Eskridge, who I've talked to people that really like this draft pick for them. And they only had 3 draft picks, if you remember, because they traded for Jamal Adams. I don't know, Matt. I just am higher on them because I think that Russell Wilson and Seattle figured out what they want to be. And I hope it's not running the football, but they talked very much about wanting to pass the ball more, using Russell Wilson more. And they drafted to help him. They drafted wide receiver, offensive line. They traded for offensive lineman. It feels like, at least I hope so, that they know what they're doing offensively finally.
Man, I disagree with this assessment here. I mean, just for the main reason, I don't feel like they really remade their team. Like, great, you know, they upgraded the at guard. You know, they signed Gerald Everett to kind of a bigger deal than I think he warranted. You mentioned that the fact that they only drafted 3 players, it just feels like they kind of have an older roster that last year at the end of the season they came out smoking hot. Russell Wilson was doing the MVP tour and they just fell apart. And I don't really see a massive upgrade here in a division that's going to have the 49ers certainly going to be better. The Rams, who I can't believe you're saying they're the third best team in the division, they actually have the second highest NFC championship odds at the book I'm looking at. I just don't think that they've remade their team enough to get competitive. And frankly, Russell Wilson, his unhappiness, sure, it won't maybe affect them this year, but I think he's sort of like getting us prepared for his exit eventually. And I think he sees the writing on the wall of like, hey, this team doesn't have a ton of talent beyond, you know, him and DK Metcalf and Jamal Adams. Like, I just don't see it with this team. I don't know. I'm not excited about him.
I mean, but no one's ever excited for them and they just win a bunch of regular season games. Like, that's the difference here is we're talking about, I guess, you know, I don't think they're contenders to win the NFC, Matt. But I think that they're the second best team in this division. I'll tell you why I'm not as high on the Rams. They're going to have huge defensive regression this season, right? Like, they're going to have, it's going to be big. Matt Stafford is an improvement over Goff, but, you know, how good is Matt Stafford still, Matt?
I don't know, but it seems like Sean McVay has basically said the difference between us being a Super Bowl team and us being whatever they were, which by the way was enough to beat Seattle with the, you know, Jared Goff with a broken thumb in the playoffs. Like, whatever they think the difference is to the next level, they have now said is Stafford. I think that's, or the difference between Goff and Stafford. I think that's a pretty bold strategy. We'll see. We'll see if it pays off for them, Cotton. But I do think, I don't know. I think the Rams every year, it's the same sort of formula, right? They're really top heavy. They rely on their stars to get them across the finish line. But I don't know. Like, Aaron Donald's probably the best, maybe the best player in the NFL. Like, that seems like a pretty good formula. Their rushing attack really came on last year. You know, if they get above average quarterback play out of Stafford, like, why couldn't they be the second best team in the NFC?
I just think that defensively, they're just, I know the defense sometimes is not the way we should look at how the teams are going to be good or not, but I think we're going to see massive, you know, they lost two cornerbacks, both actually signed with the Browns. Something about the Rams. I was off on them last year. I was wrong about it. I don't know, man. I can't buy. I can't put my finger on it. I just am never high on the Rams. I don't know why.
You're not alone. I just feel like everyone is sort of like penciling in the 49ers to positively regress and penciling in the Rams to negatively regress. When you look at the Rams, they're Rams very consistent. They're every the playoffs year.
Last year.
Yeah, with terrible quarterback play. Like, I think the Rams could really, I mean, if Stafford is a top 10 quarterback this year, they could be unbelievable.
If their really defense, if their defense is 15th in DVOA this year, how good are they?
Good. Their offense is awesome. Like, they maybe could be really
if Stafford can play still, if he doesn't get hurt, if he can still sling the rock. Like, I just think there's some question about whether or not Stafford can be the guy that people think he is.
Well, I mean, I just think, I agree. But I think to say all that about the Rams and not the 49ers, so we don't even know who their quarterback's going to be in week three, is a little unfair to the Rams. Like, the Rams have been really solid. They have just as good of a coach as any team in the NFL. I think that they're going to be really good.
Well, the team that I have that I just am off of because their coach is not very good is Kingsbury. Like, I just, the Cardinals, to me, I got to see it with this offense, man. Like, this offense it's just not set for the NFL. He has to update the offense. They're too stagnant. They're too spread out. They're just not good enough on offense. And man, I don't trust Kingsbury's going to change. He's run the same offense his entire life, wherever he's been. And I don't think they're good enough to change. I think they did a good job of adding pieces to the team, right? They added Watt and Rodney Hudson is great. AJ Green, if he can still play, and Malcolm Butler, they drafted Zaven Collins and Rondell Moore. I'm all for the moves they made personnel-wise. I don't trust their coach. Terrible Lincoln situations, stagnant offense. Kyler Murray did not improve last year. And again, I don't know if that's all Kingsbury's fault, but I kind of think it was. So I'm out of the Cardinals, man. I'm out.
I am too. I'm glad you're with me. What does this team think it is? Like, you bring in J.J. Watt and A.J. Green. These are like Bucks signings. These are like, we're close. We just need some ring chasers to come in here and make some plays for us in the playoffs. Like, what do they think they are? I like the Rodney Hudson acquisition, but like, what are they doing letting Kenyon Drake go? Like, what are they doing? I mean, I just don't understand what they are. Zaven Collins, they have 14 guys like that on their team. They have like 10 tweener guys every single year, and they drafted another one. The Rondale Moore thing is fun, but like, do they have a player on their offense who's over 5'6"? Like, what are we doing here?
I'm with you.
I don't exactly know what this team is doing. I think that they have a very good chance of doing the like, we're bottoming out this year. Kingsbury's out. Kime is out. In a really tough division. I just don't see it with them. I'm with you.
Me and you are in the same boat. All right, let's get to the NFC East.
And this mystery of all.
And this division is not going to be as bad as last season, I think. Yep. I'm actually penciling the AFC South to be the NFC East this year, by the way, if we're keeping score here.
I like that.
So let's get to this division. Now, Matt, there has not been a repeat winner in this division since 2004. So we'll start with your Washington football team because they won last year, and we'll kind of go around this division. So Fitzmagic is there now at the quarterback. Defensively, might be the best defense in the NFL. Best defensive line of football. Offensively, they added Curtis Samuel. They added Sam Kosemi as well in the draft to play offensive line. Not a bad team, Matt. What do you think?
Not a bad team at all. Love that they didn't go all in on quarterback this year. You look at this division and you can talk yourself into any of these teams winning it. Just, you know, whichever one you pick, if the thesis is Washington's going to win, it's because the best unit in this division is their defense, which should just get better. They picked up a middle linebacker in the draft, which was their biggest need on that side of the ball. They have a great coach. Fitzpatrick is a huge, I mean, they had terrible quarterback play last year and still made the playoffs. And by the way, like, did legitimately push the Bucs in the postseason.
So do we get good fits though? That's the question, right? Do we get good fits or bad fits?
That's right. I don't think they're going to be an awesome team by any means, but they could do enough to win this division. I think they're going to be fun, and they're positioned well in the long term. I don't think it's a bad bet for who wins this division at all.
But I like what they did this offseason, though. I think they did a good job. To your point about not chasing a quarterback, you know, where they were trading up, and Fitz is good enough to get you, you have a chance with Fitz at least this year. All right, the team that's the favorite to win the division is the Dallas Cowboys.
Every year the favorite, yep.
Every year the favorite. So the biggest addition, obviously, is Dak Prescott coming back, right? We understand that. They drafted heavy on defense. First six picks on defense. They had to fix their defense. Dan Quinn is in charge there. Dude, Cal me is skeptical in the Cowboys, buddy. I think Dak coming back is great for them, right? But their offensive line, are they going to stay healthy? Teron Smith at left tackle, is he going to stay healthy? They have weapons, agreed. But defensively is where my big problem for them is. Dan Quinn is their defensive coordinator. He was good in Seattle, went to the Falcons, and have you seen their defense the last 4 years? Couldn't develop a soul in that defense. Now they're relying on him to develop all these draft picks to somehow fix the defense. I don't know, man. I don't think they're going to do it. Now, they have the most talented offense in the division, but if their offensive line can't stay healthy, it doesn't matter if they're talented. Yeah. So if everything goes right for them, they can win 12 games, but I count me as someone who's not betting on their win total.
This team to me feels like the potential to be Atlanta a year or two ago. Eight players take up 56% of their cap space this year, Jeff. They're a team that's relying on guys like Connor McGovern and Tristan Hill and Trayvon Diggs to be awesome. And yeah, I mean, Dan Quinn should be an upgrade potentially, over Mike Nolan from last year, but like they need a lot of things to go right here. Granted, their offense was putting up like 50 points a game last year with Dak, but it's because there was a touchdown on the other end every single play. They need Tyron Smith and Zach Martin to be healthy. We're not sure that that's ever going to be the case again. They're a victim of their own success. They drafted so well that they sort of drank their Kool-Aid and extended everybody until, 2050. We'll see. Of the four teams in the division, they're the one I kind of trust the least. I also, they might have the third best coach in the division, with Sirianni being a massive incomplete. I think they have a real disadvantage there.
We'll get to the Eagles in just a second. Don't you worry. The one who's taking the most money, I think, in as far as value in the entire NFL to win a division is the Giants at about plus 450. Look, I think we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but I like what they did this offseason, right? They brought in Kenny Galladay. They brought in Kyle Rudolph. They re-signed Williams, which I think was a little bit much. But they brought in Dory Jackson. They brought in John Ross. They drafted Kadarius Toney. Ulahari, the good pass rusher out of Georgia. Hopefully his knee is fine. But it comes down to Danny Dimes, man. To Danny turn the ball over. Is he turned the ball over or not this year? Like, that's what it comes down to, right? If he is much improved, good football team. If he's Danny turn the ball over, not a good football team, right? Like, it's that simple. And look at last year, dude. They didn't beat anyone that was good except Seattle. Like, people look at, oh, they won six games. Like, they almost won the division. Well, they didn't. And they beat, like, Washington twice, the Bengals, the Seahawks, and what, Dallas once? Like, I think they're further away than people want them to be. But if Danny Dimes plays well, Daniel Jones plays well, they have a chance to be the division winner, I think.
This team is such a mystery to me because I don't think we texted about anything more frequently last year than how overrated the Giants were and how delusional their fans were. But now here I am looking at this and going like, why couldn't they win this division? They absolutely could because they do have a bunch of talent on the roster. The problem is it's like, who, like, what is this team? Like, I just don't understand like what they think they are. They're, I think, selling themselves as a team that could really go deep in the playoffs. They're signing Kenny Golladay to huge money. Leonard Williams, they backed him up with this huge contract. He had one really good year. We'll see if he can continue that. You know, signing Kyle Rudolph to be your tight end too. It's like, what do you think you are? Like, you must think that you're really close. Last year, you said it. Like, they beat Dwayne Haskins and Kyle Allen, and they're like, well, we're better than Washington. It's like, okay, great. I don't know. I think they're probably the best bet in this division to win it because, excuse me, as you said, like, they're, you know, you can get them for plus 515, and you can get Washington or Dallas for under plus 200. So I like that as the potential play. But they are just a gigantic question mark, and it all comes down to the quarterback, like you said. Hopefully, Saquon being back will make him look a little bit better, but who knows with this team, man?
I'm with you, and I just think, you know, a lot of the media that covers the NFL all started in Northeast, and they're just, they love pumping the Giants up, right? Like, you know this. It's like no surprise. Yeah, they love pumping them up. So I'm with you. Like, it's really Danny Dimes. Now to the Eagles, who... Boy, I said this the other day. I did a gambling show, and I said that Nick Sirianni is the puppet of the front office. And people on the show were like, ooh. And I was like, what? That's a strong take? That is the take, right? That's
strong the take. Enough. Yeah.
That's the take. They're a dumpster fire. I understand that Nick Sirianni was trying to be cute with the rock, paper, scissors thing. But does Andy Reid ever say that? Have you heard Bill Belichick say, yeah, we played rock, paper, scissors. Right? That's what we did. Have you heard Chris Ballard say that? Have you heard anyone? No, because that's stupid. And even if you do that, you're not telling anyone you did it. It's not cute, man. Like, this is the NFL. That's not a way to evaluate whether players are competitive or not. Watch their film. Turn their film on and see if they're competitive or not. I just don't like what I hear from Philly. That article that Shel Kupita, who is fantastic, I think Shel wrote it, right? At The Athletic. That was him, right? Who wrote the long Eagles article this offseason Like, it was a great article. They're a tire fire, man. They can't figure out who's running the team. Is the owner in charge? Is the GM in charge? They're both in charge. They're having these analytic meetings every week, which is fine if you want to do that. But second-guessing the coach all the time and throw them under the bus, I don't think it's going to change now. This is not how good teams are run. And honestly, it's kind of shocking when the Super Bowl, when you read how much dysfunction they have behind the scenes. So I'm out on them. I think Hurts is going to be okay. I don't think he's, like... elite, but I'm mad on them, buddy.
Here's, I think, what's going to happen with them. They're going to come out and play a few games close, maybe win a game, early in the season. Everyone's going to be like, oh, the Eagles, like Sirianni, he's the next Sean McVay. Like, that's going to happen just because, like, this is what they do. Like, they do have a lot of talent on the team still. And I think the Devontae Smith pick will look good in a few years. I think he's really awesome. But this team is a mess. Their roster is either like super young and underachieving or super old and like Zach Ertz. Like, oh, maybe this will be the year he'll like get his form back. This team looks like a big old mess. And it's another reason why I think the Colts are going to be awesome, because I think Carson Wentz is going to shine in a system that's not so terrible. That'll be an interesting one.
Me and you agree on a lot of things, and today we just have not agreed on a lot of things. Like,
I brought that up on purpose.
your running back takes have been atrocious. You've said things that have been like, I'm like, no, the Derrick Henry thing was just like the only reason.
Yeah, my take of Derrick Henry is good. Really terrible.
No. Your take was Arthur Smith was good because of Derrick Henry, which is just not true.
I stand by it.
And then you're upset the Falcons had, you know, in the same take, Mike Davis. You mentioned that the Giants would be good because Barkley's back. Like, get out of here. This Colts thing. Okay. Carson Wentz was the worst quarterback statistically in the NFL last year, right? Analytically, right? It's advanced stats, which is, I think, the best way to use it. Okay, last. So, Matt, Philip Rivers was 11th, by the way, okay? So, in the best-case scenario, Carson Wentz becomes average next year? He's not going to become elite in one season. Okay. So are you just setting me up right now? You're laughing. I don't like this.
Yeah, I love it. It's great. This is just what I wanted.
So if Carson Wentz, if you're still listening now, bravo for continuing to listen. But Carson Wentz, even if he's average, they're not going to win the AFC. They might not, like, their division's going to be the NFC East from last year. They're going to be a 9 or 8 win division winner. Like Tennessee, I think, regresses a bunch. Without Arthur Smith there, well, at least they have Derrick Henry. Maybe he can carry the ball 500 times this year. The Texans are
good. Just making sure he is good.
The Jaguars, if Tim Tebow's on that roster, just a hard fade. If he makes the roster, dude. Oh God.
I promise you the Colts win that division behind even adequate Carson Wentz play. And that puts them at like 11 or 12 wins. Colts, and that will just make the Eagles season worse. That's my only take.
Colts fans think that like Carson Wentz is going to be what he was in 2017. That's the outlier for his career, by the way, so far, everyone. That's Eller. Speaking about a long podcast, and we've gone through all the teams. All right, everyone. Hope you enjoyed this. We will keep it to under 2.5 hours for you guys. This will be about, I don't know, editing 52 minutes or so. Please rate, review, subscribe. We have a lot more listeners lately. I really appreciate it. I hope you guys enjoy what we're doing. And we'll be back next week. Take care, everybody.